The first reading for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, comes from the Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse. As Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the first letter of St. John, the third chapter. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." And this is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." And this is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mother's Day, as you probably know, is just around the corner. It's a day set aside to honor those who do the godly and often difficult task of being mothers, raising both children and husbands. It's a day that reminds us that we should express our love for our mothers. And how do we usually express that love? With gifts, of course. Whether it be a handmade card, a bar of chocolate, or a trip to her favorite Indian restaurant where she will enjoy herself greatly and we will lovingly look forward to stopping at Taco Bell on the way home. We will shower our mothers with gifts to express our love for her. And that is a good thing to do. As people, we like to express our love in gifts. When the birthday of a loved one rolls around, we try to get them a thoughtful gift, a token of our love for them. At Christmas time, we ask for wish lists from those we love so that we can get them something that they really want. Anniversaries, new babies, weddings. We use every occasion we can to shower our loved ones with gifts, to express our love for them by giving them something special. And of course, we also look forward to receiving those gifts as well. Not just because we get stuff, although we do enjoy that, but because it reminds us of their love for us. It shows us that we are valued, that the giver of the gift truly does care about us and wants us to be happy. And that's why we take such joy in hearing the words of St. John that we heard in our epistle reading today. John is talking about what God has done for us and how we ought to respond. He is talking about God's deep love for us, and he says this: whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And at those words, our heart bursts with joy, and we think to ourselves, score, because there's a lot that we are going to ask for. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. These are the words of God in the Bible. And so they are trustworthy and they are true. And these words assure us that whatever we ask of God, he will give us because we are good Christians who do what is right. And that totally makes sense, doesn't it? Because we know that God loves us, and we know that we like to give the people we love gifts that they want. And so clearly, John here is saying that whatever we ask for from God, we are going to get, right? John seems to be saying that our Christian faith is basically a signed blank check from Jesus. And whatever we have, whatever we want, if we ask him and we obey him, then he is going to give it to us. And John's not the only person who says this in the Bible. In our intro today, we heard the beloved words of the 23rd Psalm. And there, King David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And since I really want a lot of things, this means he's going to give it all to me, right? I mean, God loves me very, very much. And when I love someone, I want to give them gifts. So if I am a good enough Christian, if I keep his commandments and do what pleases him, God will show his love for me by giving me everything my heart desires, right? Now, hopefully you heard the sarcasm in all of that, because obviously this is not what the Bible teaches. And yet, it's not obvious enough to everyone. There are charlatans and false teachers out there who teach that exact message. It's called the prosperity gospel, or health and wealth gospel, or name it and claim it gospel. And yet, it's not a gospel at all. It's a lie. It's a heresy that takes a few verses of the Bible here and there out of context, ignores the rest of it. It claims that God expresses his love for you and his pleasure in your actions primarily by rewarding you with earthly treasures and trinkets. It says that if your Christian faith is strong enough, then you will always be happy, healthy, and wealthy. It claims that God just wants to pour endless riches and blessings into your life, and all you need to do is obey him very well so that he can actually do what he wants to and fill your life with stuff. Do you see the problem with this teaching? It's all about you, and it's all about worldly things. You have to obey God. You have to do what is pleasing to him. You have to toe the line. And if you do it well enough, then God will finally give you that Ferrari you've had your eye on. This so-called gospel is all about earthly things, earthly wealth, earthly safety, earthly health. God becomes a magical vending machine. Insert one prayer, receive gift. And what happens when those gifts fail to materialize? Well, the only conclusion that you can come to is that God doesn't love you anymore, or that you are no longer pleasing to God. And when your health and your wealth have abandoned you, that's when you need God the most. And so it is demonically devastating to think that God has left you as well. So no, God does not promise to give you everything you ask him for, even if you ask in a very particular way, even if you ask over and over and over, even if you truly believe with every fiber of your being that he will. He will not. The prosperity gospel is a deceptive lie that caters to our sinful, greedy hearts, and it leaves you questioning God's love for you whenever you need it the most. And yet, John clearly says, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So what do we do with that promise? Well, we do what we always do. We look at it in context. We don't just cherry pick a verse here, a verse there, and build a God who wants to do what we want him to do. We look at what God is actually saying in his word to us. In verse 22, yes, John writes, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And then in verse 23, immediately afterward, John clarifies, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. What is God's commandment that we are to keep? Believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Not just believing that he is powerful enough to fill your bank account and give us good health. Believe that he is the promised and delivered Messiah, our Savior who cleanses us of our guilt and makes us his own, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is God himself in the flesh, who came to us while we were dead in our sin and made us alive, made us a new creation. Christianity isn't about earthly treasures. It's about eternal ones, eternal gifts that you don't deserve, and yet you are given freely, richly, and constantly. And John goes on, whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. It's not just about your obedience to God's word. By faith, God himself abides within you. And as he does, he changes you. He molds you. He shapes you into a better person, leads you to turn away from your wicked, sinful desires. Not in that you no longer sin the moment that you have real Christian faith. That's just another variation of the prosperity gospel lie that puts you in the driver's seat. As long as you are this side of heaven, you will struggle with sin as it tempts you constantly, seeks to drag you away from God, tries to convince you that God's word doesn't matter or doesn't apply to your circumstances, or you're better off interpreting it differently. As a Christian, you will live a lifetime of fighting against the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. But you do not fight alone, because God abides within you. You no longer want to just lie down in your sin and say, well, this is just who I am. Guess I have to do with that. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you trust in God's word. You believe that it gives a better way than the depravity of sin that seeks to enslave you. You don't have to gratify every one of your sinful urges. You don't have to live just for yourself. You don't have to be held captive by your greedy, envious heart that thinks God should give you much shinier stuff if he really loves you. Because do you think a fancy car is the best gift God could give you? Do you think the American dollar is the greatest treasure that you could possibly receive? Do you think a luxury yacht is the full extent of God's love for you? If you do, you are selling God's love very, very short. John writes, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." He doesn't say that we know God's love by how many trinkets and doodads God has given us. We know the love that God has for us because he suffered and died in our place to redeem us from sin, death, and eternal condemnation in hell. What more could we possibly ask for? God doesn't express his love for you in trinkets. He expresses it in blood, his blood. While you were a sinner, while you hated God, while you had nothing at all to offer him and no possible chance to redeem yourself, God, the creator of the universe, came to you in mercy and in grace. He humbled himself to take on human flesh, to enter into this broken, sinful world and experience all of its suffering, all of its heartaches, all of its disappointments and pain and sadness, all of its death. All because he loved you and didn't want you to be separated from him for eternity. Didn't want you to be held captive by sin. All because he wanted you to be with him in heaven forever. He who is immortal became mortal out of love for you. He who is without sin took upon himself all of your sin out of love for you. He who is eternal suffered and died out of love for you. And he who died rose again from the grave to shatter the chains of death out of love for you. And he who resides in heaven abides with you each and every day, guiding you, strengthening you, blessing you, forgiving you of all of your sin. This is how God shows his love for you, and that's way better even than a private jet. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Our greedy, sinful hearts want to make this about earthly treasures, want to make it all about us, want this to be a blank check from God so that we can have everything our heart desires. But God wants us to have more than that. And he wants us to have much better gifts than we could possibly imagine. He doesn't grant us every wish we make because he doesn't want us to be spoiled little children. When we feel like we are lacking in earthly treasures, when our health and wealth fail us, it is not a sign that God has left us. It is a sign that our earthly treasures always do. But even in suffering, even in need, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall want no more. I trust in his wisdom, his grace, his almighty power. And you know that any earthly gift that you could possibly ask for, it is nothing at all compared to the eternal gifts that God has already given to you. He has suffered and died to pay the penalty of your sins. He has risen from the dead to set you free from the fires of hell. He abides with you daily and gives you what he knows is truly best. And when all your earthly gifts come to an end, when you lie down in the sleep of death, you will rise again to new life, eternal life in heaven with him. Not because your obedience was good enough, not because you asked God in just the right way, not because of anything that you did or didn't do. You are saved because of God's love for you. And by his cross alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.